Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to read verse 9 in a little moment. But let's just pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, I just pray that now, Lord, that you'll help us to settle our hearts and our minds. Lord, we've been busy, each one, all week. Help us, Lord, to put those things that have been occupying our minds and our thoughts, maybe worries, even about the future, even about this week, things that need done, and all of these things, I pray that you'll help us to put them aside right now. We pray that you'll put the old enemy outside the door. Help us not to be distracted. Help us to focus on the Lord Jesus and his precious and God's precious word this morning. Help me. Hide us behind the cross. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the children of Israel, we've been reading about them here in this chapter, sometimes referred to as the people of God. They find themselves in a deadly dilemma here in this chapter. I would call it between a rock and a hard place. Put your hand up if you've ever been between a rock and a hard place. A whole lot of rocks and a whole lot of hard places, maybe. Yes, exactly. And here there's a word for us this morning. And I want us just to look at this. I'm going to just give you a few thoughts this morning before we even get into our message this morning. Just a few thoughts that have been on my heart. And the title of our message this morning is simply called Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea. That's another little saying. Who's heard that saying before? I thought it was just something that I had heard. But it's a saying. And I want to tell you, I tried to find out where it came from, and we're told that, one explanation is that many, many years ago in the old wooden sailing ships, and they were plowing across the Atlantic, that there was a part on that ship down towards the front of the ship and down near the main bow of the ship, that sometimes the planks could begin to open a little. And if the planks began to open a little, they were needing sealed, they were needing filled or gulped or whatever they called it. And so if they went down to do that, and a sailor would have to go down, he would risk his life to do that, down, right down towards the sea, and he would be trying to fix that, patch that up. And the saying goes that he was between the devil and the deep blue sea. If he went down, he was risking his life. If he didn't go down, he was risking his life because the ship could go down. That's one explanation for it. But when I see the children of Israel here, it reminds me that they were between the devil and the deep blue sea. Let's take a little look at this morning. Read verse 9. Verse 9. And the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. You know, this morning as I look at this verse, we read in verse 9 that the Egyptians were being pursued. They were pursuing after the children of God. The children of Israel, the children of God, were being pursued. And what does that mean? It means to chase or to follow. You know what, dear friends, this morning, that little thought struck me. It's a reminder to me, but it's also a reminder to you this morning, that all of us that are believers here this morning, that are Christians, we're continually being pursued. We're continually being pursued by an enemy who has one mission in mind for each Christian. His mission is recorded in John 10 and 10. What is that? John 10 and 10. Many of you know it. The thief, referring to the enemy, Satan. The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. To destroy. The enemy is out to destroy us. He's out to destroy our lives, to destroy our testimonies, and he pursues us relentlessly, tempting us with bait that he has already, time after time after time, been successful with. Many lives, many testimonies destroyed. And so the enemy wants to destroy us. We need to be on our guard. We need to guard our minds and our hearts continually. In verse 9 and 10, we see that behind the children of Israel was this pursuing enemy, the Egyptians. The Egyptians were behind them, and in front of them was the sea. I'm going to call it this morning the Deep Blue Sea. It was the Red Sea, but think about this for a little moment. They were trapped. Their plight seemed a hopeless one. And just by way of introduction this morning, I wonder this morning, is there someone here this morning? And perhaps that describes a little of your situation this morning. The future perhaps does not look good. Well, God has a word for you, dear friend, this morning. Dear brother, dear sister, He has a word for you this morning. Because you see, if we go on down in this chapter to verse 10 and just look at it for a little moment, the people of God, they saw the vast Egyptian army, and here they were mobilized against them. And I was just thinking, they were just like a lion, a great mighty lion, ready to pounce on its prey. And here were the people, they were so afraid, the Bible tells us. What could they do? What about your situation? What can you do? It may seem that you're between a rock and a hard place. It may seem to you this morning that there's no way of escape. There's no way of deliverance. There's no way out of your particular situation. What can you do? What can we do as Christians? Well, we find the answer in God's word. What were they doing? What was Moses doing? Well, he was doing the greatest thing that he could do when we're faced with great problems and difficulties in our lives. They were praying. They prayed. Prayer changes things. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? That prayer changes things. And things were going to change, I believe, in an answer to prayer. You see, God hears and God answers prayer. He answered prayer all those years ago in our chapter here, in chapter 14 of Exodus, and He hears and He answers prayer today. How do we know that? Well, it tells us in His Word. It's simple. It tells us that He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's the same forever. Praise His name. Praise His name this morning. You know, it doesn't tell us that they got a little prayer book out, and they searched for the prayer that would suit their situation, and they would read out of a little prayer book, and they would, no. They were praying from hearts that were fearful. They cried unto the Lord, it tells us. This was earnest prayer. This was a passionate prayer for deliverance. They need it delivered. See, they weren't just reading out a little prayer that someone else had made up or someone else had written. I could think about them this morning, and I try and put myself in their position. And there, what are they going to do? The sea's in front of them. They can't get over it. They can't get around it. And behind them, the Egyptians are pursuing. They're right on them. The enemy's almost on top of them, almost going to take them. And I can just picture individuals praying and saying, "Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, save us. Oh, God, fight for us." I picture that people saying that. People may be on their knees and they're praying, "Oh, God, help us." But what about us this morning? Is there an urgency in our prayers? In our praying? I'm not just speaking to you this morning. I'm speaking to myself, and I pray that God will speak to you and will speak to me in a great way today. Here we see passionate, urgent prayer. You know, what about our city? What about Belfast? We can talk and talk and talk about all the issues and all the terrible things that are happening. What about our friends? What about our family? What about our country in general? Oh, it's gone far and far away, further away from God in this generation than maybe it's ever gone in the recent history. So, are we burdened for it? Are we burdened for these dear people? How matter of fact we can become. How formal we can become. It's just like reading a little prayer out of a book or just going by memory in the same prayer. But God wants us to be engaged in passionate, urgent prayer. People are lost and we don't know how long they have. And so the time is short, and short for us as well. It's only the little that we do will last for the Lord. This morning I want to focus our attention on verse 15. That is just a little thought by way of introduction. There are three things I want us to see very quickly this morning, and I want us to go and jump down to verse 15. Verse 15, here's what it says. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go, what does it say? Forward. What does it say? Forward. Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. You see, there was a requirement or a commandment to be obeyed. There was a command to be obeyed. And I asked myself some questions just as I was reading down through this verse to try and understand it better and more fully myself. And I'm still trying to understand it all. But some little thoughts and some little questions I asked myself, the first one being, who is speaking or giving this command to go forward? Well, it tells us in verse 15, it gives us the answer. It says, and the Lord. The Lord was speaking. The Hebrew word for Lord, Adon, and one meaning for it is this, one possessed of absolute control, or the meaning master. It was the master speaking. It was God who was speaking. He was in absolute control. Even though the enemy was right behind them, even though the Red Sea was in front of them, it seemed that all was lost. It was a hopeless situation that they faced. God was in control. God was in absolute control of this terrifying situation for his children. Perhaps you, this morning, dear friend, dear visitor this morning, dear person that's maybe listening in today, maybe you need to hear those words this morning. Perhaps we all need reminding of this, that the Lord is in control. He is sovereign. So it was the Lord that was speaking. Who is God speaking to? Who is the Lord speaking to? Is another little question that I asked myself. And God is speaking here, we see, to Moses. Moses, he was the servant. He was the spokesman. You remember, God had called him all those years ago, and he was God's chosen man for the moment. He was called of God to be Israel's leader. He was, as it were, the mediator between God and the people, his people, God's people. It reminds us that we have a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the Lord. And he wants us to call on him. He wants us to pray. And then he wants us to go. So God was speaking to Moses. And then he gives this command, this requirement that we're coming to. What was the command? What was it? Well, it tells us here that the Lord said to Moses in verse 15, speak unto the children of Israel that they go. Who's awake? Who's sleeping? This is what we need to remember. Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. That they go forward. Where were they to go to? They were to go forward. But where was that going to take them? Well, it would just bring them to the water's edge of the Red Sea. That's as far as it could bring them. There was no way across. They didn't have a bridge. There's no bridge across. Didn't have the Queen's Bridge. Didn't have any other bridge. There was no way across. Think about that. If that was you, and you faced that particular scenario, that behind you, it seemed that there was certain death, in front of you, there seemed no way of escape, what would you say? I would be thinking, perhaps in this scenario, I'd be thinking, what? It's impossible. It's impossible. There's no way out. There's no way of escape, and there's no way of getting across even to the other side. It's impossible. But praise the Lord for God and for his word. The things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And we're going to see that here this morning. They were not to go alone by sight, but they were to go by faith in God alone. Maybe this morning, as we're here in church this morning, God looks down and he sees all of our hearts. Maybe there's someone here today and maybe you're still out of Christ. You've never asked the Lord Jesus to forgive your sin. Never recognized that you're a sinner and your need of a Savior to save you from going to that place the Bible calls hell. dear friend, this morning there's coming a day for all in all of our lives, no matter who you are, that there's going to be a crossing over. A crossing over from this life into the next. There's going to be a great crossing over. This is going to happen in the blink of an eye. The next. This world, it just goes so quickly. I can't believe I'm the age I am. I still think I'm a 20. And I'm not. And I look in the mirror and I try and run. And I'm going to Bible clubs and all those wee things that we're at. And you're taking part in the games and you're trying to run. You can hardly keep up with them. You can't keep up with them. They run rings around you now. And you're reminded that life is passing so quickly. It goes in a flash. And then the Bible tells us that, doesn't it? Our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes all away. You know, we have only a little time in this world, but our eternity is forever and ever. All eternity. All that will count on that day is our faith in Christ alone. I wonder, dear friend, this morning, do you possess the passport of salvation? You know, there's no other way but through Christ alone to get to heaven and home for all eternity. You know, repent of your sin today, if that's you. Repent before it's too late. Accept what Jesus has accomplished on the cross at Calvary and receive that forgiveness by faith alone in Him alone this morning. You know, you have maybe heard this message hundreds of times. I'm sure you have. But if you're still out of Christ, and you may be sitting there, as I was as a 20-year-old, and I had my suit on and my shirt and tie on. I was sitting in church. I looked the part. But, you know, my heart was far from God. And if that's you this morning, you can fool those around you. You can fool your parents. You can fool your family. But you need one thing, that when you come to the end of your life, which could be today, could be tomorrow, you will not fool God when you cross over, because you will go to the place that the Bible calls hell. Get yourself right with God today. It's all by God's grace. He has you here this morning, and perhaps He's speaking to you. You know, God's requirement or requirement for His people that day was for them to go forward. They were to step out in faith. They were to trust Him. That's easy said, isn't it? But it's harder to do in practice. Obedience and trust in God was and is still today a path to victory. You know, the people would go forward. There was a requirement and a command, and they would eventually go forward in obedience. And God was going to give the people victory over their long-term enemy, the Egyptians. Those that had kept them in slavery so long, He was going to give the victory. He was going to give the victory to God's own people. He was going to give the victory. Maybe if you're unsaved today, the old devil has had you ensnared for so long. Today could be the day. Today could be the day that you are set free, gloriously free. You know, as Christians, we need to trust and obey. So easy we're distracted with lesser things. I'll put my hand up. You see a mobile phone? I love my mobile phone. It's got everything in it. It's got the phone, can talk to you, do your head in. I can use it to send messages. I can send a message to the other side of the world. Wow, brilliant. I can hear the news right now. I don't have to go away and find a radio or TV even. I can look at it here. It's brilliant. But you know, dear friends, this morning, this is one of the greatest distractions, I believe, for us all. There was research done in the UK recently, and they say, I think it's every 15 minutes or to 20 minutes that people on average have to look at their phones. It can become for the Christian a great distraction. And so today we need to learn to discipline ourselves, to set it to the side, to leave it to the side, stop the distractions, stop the beeping, stop the messages, all the rest, and just get time alone with God. That's precious. That's precious time. And it brings us on a path to victory. Christian friend, this morning, if God is calling you to do something with your life, don't delay. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Don't get caught up in lesser things. Deal with the distractions, whether it's a phone, whether it's something else that's got your attention, and your job or your career or your dreams. If they're getting in the road of God's will for your life, you need to set them aside. You want to have victory in your life, in your Christian life, then there's things that need to go. deal with the distractions. Don't delay, but follow God's path, God's will, God's way on to victory. Not only was it a path to victory when they followed God's way and God's command, but it was also a path to a new promised home, a new promised home. You know, when the people followed God's path, it would bring them eventually to the promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey. You're still with us. Brilliant. A land flowing with milk and honey. Initially, the people, what would they do? They would obey God. They would initially obey him. Yes, they would go across the Red Sea. But the tragedy long term for the people was this, that afterwards their disobedience to God's requirements and commandments, they would be taken up with other things, with other gods. And a result of this disobedience and backsliding, their generation would never see the promised land. Young man or woman, maybe they're here today and other things have taken over in your life. What are those things? Maybe there's someone here I'm speaking to and you once walked well with the Lord. You once really, you were on fire for him. You got involved in everything you could. You spent time with him and his word, wanting to know, God, what do you want me to do? And find encouragement in his word. But today finds you far, far away. Far away. Reminds me of the prodigal. The father was waiting. And he's waiting for you this morning. If you're backslidden in heart, stop today. Stop. Get back to God and his word. God wants and God waits for you with open arms. He's waiting for you. But to delay will result in further enslavement. If the people had delayed, they would have resulted in enslavement back where they were once came from, back in Egypt, back to the hard grind and slavery and cruelty that they came from. You know, may all of us this morning, in reading this word, rededicate ourselves to spending more time in prayer and listening to God through his word. It's a way, it's a path to victory, but it's also the path on the way to the promised land, on the way to heaven. Praise the Lord that this world is not our final home. You know, as you listen and I listen to the news, some of you might read it in the paper, some on the internet, some on your phone, whatever way you read it. There's very little good news, isn't there? Our country, as it were, has done a complete U-turn and continues to do that, further and further and further away from God and what God wants for them. And yet, we still are called to go forward as God's people. And someday, there's a better land. There's a land that is fairer than day. Dear friend, this morning, take encouragement. Take encouragement that God is still in control, that there is still, that God is in ultimate control, even in all of our situations today. But we need to go forward. There's a man called Gypsy Smith. I love reading his book. If you get his autobiography, and I'm not really into autobiographies, I wish I was. I find them hard going, hard reading. I get the first chapter and then I go, I'll get back to that someday and that's it, gone. Once it gets down the side of the bed, history. But listen, Gypsy Smith, I loved reading his autobiography. If you've never read it, get it. I was amazed I actually finished it. I said, that's thicker than the Bible. It's really, really big. And I read his autobiography. And you see, he opened the first page. Here's what got me. An autobiography of Gypsy Smith or Rodney Smith by myself. That got me right away. Here's me. He wrote his own. So but here's something he said. I love listening to his little quotes. You know, he got saved. And you see, when he trusted the Lord in that little small gathering, among that small gathering of people that morning, there was two women, or maybe this was a few weeks later, I'm not sure, but he was in the church that morning, and there was two women he heard over his talk, speaking over. He overheard their conversation, I should say. And you know what they said? "I heard someone got saved," one wee woman said. And the other wee woman said, "Aye, but he's only a gypsy boy." Huh? Only a gypsy boy. And you see, he could have been so discouraged, he could have just walked away from that fellowship. He could have just walked away from everything, but he didn't. You know what he done? He determined in his heart that he was going to follow God's path, and he was going to show those people that were saying he was only a gypsy boy, he was going to show them what God can do with one life that's fully surrendered to him. And that's exactly what he done. Here's something he said. Gypsy Smith once said, "There's no standing still on a bike." You ever try that? You need to be a stuntman to be able to do it, all right? But if you get on a bike and you stop pedaling and you're just, the bike stopped and you try to stand still for a minute, what's going to happen? Hello? What's going to happen? You'll fall off. Exactly. You'll fall off. You'll hit the deck, as I would say. Isn't that right? You're going to fall off. And so what he was saying here, there's no standing still on a bicycle. In the Christian life, there's no standing still. We can't say, "I'm going to park it for a wee while, and I'm going to leave my devotions and my prayer times and all those things just to the side. I'll maybe leave going to church, or I'll leave it for a wee while." You won't. You'll fall off. You'll backslide. And so beware. Beware. There's a path to a new promised home, but we need to keep going. And as the little song says, "Go through with God your vows to pay. Thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to you God's very best." You know, there's a new home awaiting beyond the sky for the Christian, but he wants us to be faithful. And yes, we'll let him down at times, but you know, he wants us to keep going. Keep coming back to him in prayer. Trust him. Read his word. Go forward. And he tells us these lovely words, "I go to prepare a place for you." Oh, isn't that music to our ears today? In a world that cares nothing about God, in a world that shakes its fist at God and tries to belittle God, oh, fear for the people that do that. But you know, what a lovely word of encouragement. "I go to prepare a place for you." Now, we're almost finished. I must move very quickly. So we see there the requirement for God's people. They were to go forward. The response then from God's people, what did they do? Verse 21, what exactly did they do? And it says, "Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused..." Who was it caused it? The Lord. The Lord caused it. "The sea to part, to go back by a strong east wind." Moses obeyed the word of God, and the Lord, he done the rest. What were the response of not only Moses, but of God's people? Well, they went forward. We read that the people followed God's command, and it tells us there they went into the midst of the sea. They went into the midst. There was a going forward. They didn't delay. And so there's a great command and a great response demanded of us today. What's that great command of the believer? What was it Jesus said before he went back to his Father in heaven? What did he say to his disciples and us today? Well, he said to go, isn't that right? To go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Amen. To preach the gospel. There's an urgency. There's a going forward. Go forward. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not by faith, but by faith alone. And we would look at the situation and say, "But I can't bring that. I can't bring the gospel to this friend of mine. He's so out of control. He's so told me before he doesn't want to hear." But you know, we can pray and we can just keep going forward and bringing the message to those around us. You know, maybe there's somebody here and there's lots of you I know, and you're involved in the children's work. And maybe there's someone here and God's put it in your heart. You've not been involved yet, but you're able to, but you haven't been involved. And there's lots and lots of vacancies at the minute, because this church wants to go forward for God, to reach children for God, but there's empty positions. There's people need it. We're standing still. We want to go forward and reach many, many more for the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you this morning? What's your response going to be? What's God saying to you? Don't worry about what I'm saying. What's God saying to you? Is God calling you to go forward, to get into this work? to get into maybe the outreach work of the church, to get into the prayer meeting, get into all these things. God wants you to go forward. But you know, you have a response to make this morning. Am I going to obey the Lord and whatever he's calling me to do, or am I going to stay still? Am I going to stand still? You know, the path to victory, we need to go forward. The response is to go forward. African missionary, David Livingstone, here's what he said. He needed help. But he sent word back to England and he told them this. If you have men who will only come to Africa if there is a good road, I don't want them. Do you love the boldness of the man? I don't want them. I want men who will come if there's no road at all. I want men who will come if there's no road at all. That's what God wants us. There may seem no way possible to be able to do this or to obey God's call, but there's a path, and God will show you the path, and God will make a way when it seems to be no way. What do God's people say? I think you're sleeping. What do God's people say? Amen. God will make a way. And God will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But we need to be available. We need to follow the Lord. There's a song we were singing, and forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. Though the billows, they dash and spray, but with a conquering tread, we will push ahead. Not because of our strength, not because of our ability, but because of what God can do, and it tells us he'll roll the sea away. Oh, they witnessed walls of water on either side of them as they obeyed God's command. It was a spectacular miracle. But you know, think about God's way of salvation. The fact that Jesus died on the cross, the shedding of his precious blood that cleansed a sinner like me. Are you thankful this morning? Are you thankful for that amazing grace? Oh, truly it is amazing this morning that God saved a wretch like me. But I wonder if you obeyed his command to go forward. Where are you at today? Are you going forward? Are you standing still? Think about the old bike. Gypsy Smith used the illustration. You're either going forward, you're standing still, and in danger of falling off. The very last one, and we'll finish with this, is this. The result for God's people. You know, the enemy pursued God's people. Satan never gives up in pursuing us, as I said at the start. He pursued the people of God right to the end. The enemy pursued to the end. The Egyptians pursued right to the end. But even though the enemy continues to tempt and discourage, he is ultimately heading for a final defeat and eternity in hell. He is a defeated foe, and his end will be in the place called hell. Now, when you and I are tempted this week, dear friend, hear this. You'll be tempted with many things because he's pursuing after you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants you to give in. He wants you to get into that compromising situation that eventually you will give in. He wants to destroy you. Remember that. But you know, what does the Bible tell us about the enemy? What does he tell us to do? He tells us to resist him. Resist the devil. Get behind me, Satan. And it tells us when we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Well, the result where they resisted the enemy, they just went forward with God. They followed God's command. They followed God's will. And the waters were a wall either side. There were walls of protection to them. Isn't that a lovely thought? Walls of protection. The walls of sea were built right up there. The dry land to go forward. At any second, the sea could just come in on them. And it feels like that sometimes in our Christian life. We're right at the point as if everything's going to collapse in on us. We can't go forward anymore. But you know, there's a word for you this morning. Remember this. Remember this, that those walls were walls of protection, that the Lord is with us. He can guard against the enemy. He can help us in the midst of all that we face or we're going to go through. Even the enemy in this chapter, you can read it for yourself when you go home, they acknowledged God's help and that God was with this people. You know, today I look across Belfast and there are unprecedented opportunities for mission. God is calling us to go forward. He's calling us to serve Him. He's calling us, He commands us to go. The response He leaves to you and I, what are we going to do? And then we see the result. The people, there was a going forward, there was an obedience to God through Moses had called them to go forward, and he was repeating God's word. I wonder what we'll do. Unprecedented opportunities for mission. Thousands and thousands of people coming from all over the world. People from North Africa, people from Romania, Eastern Europe. Oh, they're all over the place. I could take you to places today, and there's hundreds of believers, even in Northern Ireland, from all these other countries, and they're meeting together around God's word. But there's thousands more, and they're out of Christ, and they're going to an eternity in hell. But it's a mission field that's come to our door. Unprecedented mission opportunities for this church. You know, it excites me, the thought of it. But you know, God needs to open our hearts to these people. My dad used to say, because, you know, I would have been a bit prejudiced in my day. And I didn't really think it was a good thing, people coming to the country. But you know, God worked in my heart. And God's still working in my heart, and He's working in all of us in all different scenarios. But one thing He worked in my heart was this. And my dad, He used my dad. He said, Philip, you can either see these people as a problem, or you can see them as potential to win them for Christ Jesus. And that's what I want to do. I want to see them as potential for Jesus Christ. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what people say, even other Christians say. These people need one for Jesus Christ. And when we reach out to them, we will be represented within this church family. People from all across the world. For remember this, there's coming a day when we'll stand before the Lamb. And it'll not be Ulster, it'll not be Ireland, it'll not be British or Irish or all of this. You know what it's going to be? We'll stand before the Lamb and we'll say, worthy is the Lamb. And there will be people from every kindred and nation and tongue that will stand before the Lamb. But I wonder, are you going to try and reach them now when God calls you? Is God calling you to go out into this unprecedented missionary opportunity to reach others for Jesus Christ? What about your friends? What about your family? Oh, God wants us to go. Let us never forget that in all of what God is doing. Thank God for the souls that have been saved, the little boys and girls trusting the Savior. But Lord, you know, folks, this morning, I'm excited because that's only a little start. You know, if we're faithful in going forward with God and going forward into the ground that has been thus far untaken, you know, God can do great things. I'm excited about that. The Lord is still Lord. He is still Lord. He is still in control. And let us never forget to praise Him after each answer to prayer. You know, God was at work, and the result was that people went across. Here's what C.H. Spurgeon said at the very end of our sermon today, our thoughts, little thoughts today. He said this, and you be reminded where you're at today and that difficulty you maybe face, experientially or by experience, he's saying, I have learned, dear friends, that at the Red Sea of affliction, we see most of the right hand of God. No Red Sea, no trial, no triumph. The songwriter puts it well. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. What did the Lord say to Moses? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go. We're going to try it again. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go. That's more like it. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now our time is almost gone. I'm going to just close in a wee word of prayer. I'm going to hand over to our brother Sammy for communion. So we'll finish in a wee word of prayer and then I'll go to the door. And if you're staying for communion this morning, take the opportunity to do that as a Christian. Maybe you're someone here and you're drifted away from the Lord and you don't usually stay for communion. Why don't you take this opportunity to come and just pray in the stillness in the next few moments and ask God to really take your life and bring you back to where He once had you. That's an opportunity for you to do today. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we just thank You for Your precious word this morning. I thank you for the challenge it brings to go forward. Lord, there's a world that is dying in sin. The day is darker than maybe most of us have ever seen it spiritually than ever it's been. But, oh God, the darker the night, we realize that the brighter the light can shine. But, oh God, I pray you'll help us to take the light, not to hide it, but to take it forward. Lord, we thank you for the response of your people just at that particular chapter. Lord, how they went forward. They obeyed you, Lord, and they went forward into victory over to the other side. We realize and we've seen how in this chapter we can see how the enemy was defeated. The enemy was defeated. We thank you for the cross this morning. The enemy is a defeated foe. And Lord, we just pray this morning that you'll help us, Lord, to realize that, Lord, victory is only found through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us today. Lord, this little time of communion, help us to be still and know that our God, meet with us, Lord. Meet with us. Meet with your children. Challenge us, but help us to be thankful people this morning. Thank you for the cross. I pray you'll go with us today. Those that must leave, go with them now. And help us in the last few moments of this meeting, during communion, just to meditate and to think about the great sacrifice that God has made in sending his son Jesus to die on that cross. Lord, we thank you for the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, still cleanses us from all sin. In Jesus' name we thank thee. Amen.